in their 60s who happened to be boating in the area found Emily's body. There she was, 4 miles from campus, partially clothed and tangled in weeds in the New Meadows River. She'd been 22 for 19 days and a college graduate for one afternoon. The water cleansed her crisis-manufactured guilt. Her role shifted again, this time from the cause of her own demise to beloved victim, forever enshrined as young and beautiful. Her personality locked in place, waiting for the passage of time to polish and mute every flaw into oblivion. Her death turned out to be a horrible beginning to a winding and tragic tale rather than an ending. Not an accident, not a result of alcohol, a murder. The saddest part? None of this would have happened if she'd gotten into Amherst as she'd dreamed. Chapter 2. Sierra. Sierra Prescott groaned when she stepped in her office and saw the unshuffled stacks of bids, bills, and invoices swamping her desk. If she squinted, she could almost make out the glass that held down the important scraps of paper, like her computer password. Screw privacy issues. Her business partner, Mitch Anderson, insisted on swapping out intricate strings of numbers, letters, random capitals, and nonsense symbols every month. He was a safety guy, 35 going on, living in a bunker. He worried about everything. He could find a tiny hint of potential trouble in every bit of fantastic news. Then again, with his background, being skeptical wasn't a surprise. It was a survival mechanism. She'd been out in the field on a landscaping job for the new boutique hotel in Rockport for 9 days. It would take another 5 for the ache in her knees to subside. So she switched to desk work. Clearly not a great decision. Mitch? She shouted his name into the empty office suite. Because it was Sunday, rational people remained at home, playing with their kids and puppies, and enjoying this thing called a weekend. Not that she or Mitch had any needy creatures in their care. Both were single, both lived alone, both worked too much. Neither of them bothered to file a piece of paper until the threat of being buried alive in a pile of overdue bills overcame them.
Hey.
Mitch appeared in the doorway. As usual, he wrapped up his entire greeting with that one word. He wore jeans and a zip-up sweater to fight the cooling September winds. His brown hair had that ruffled, don't-own-a-mirror look. He was a handsome-without-trying type. A mix of boy next door and hot single dad on the playground. His lazy smile kicked up on one side, without any emotion or lightness behind it. Not that he was a psychopath, but he'd been raised by one and had learned early how to navigate a series of emotional landmines. Sierra picked up the crumpled postcard by her foot and held it in the air. Is this garbage or part of some basketball game you were playing using the trash can?
Garbage.
His tone actually said, problem. Intrigued, she unrolled the paper to find an invitation addressed to Mitchell Anderson with a handwritten note on the side. We expect you to be here. W. She didn't have to ask who W was. Though she'd only talked to him on the phone, she knew all about Will Mayer. Mitch's college friend, or one of them. Part of a supposedly unbreakable group of friends that shattered one spring 12 years ago. A topic Mitch rarely discussed. Will's getting married, she said, as if Mitch hadn't read the card before junking it. To someone named Ruthie Simmons.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if her parents actually named her Ruthie, or Ruth. Mitch didn't say a word, so Sierra kept talking. Weirdly, it's a printed invite to an informal get-together happening in 3 weeks.